Hello again. I have a confession to make. No, not that kind of confession, but if I am not careful, I may be guilty of a sin. You see, ever since last spring, there is something that I am really happy about. But Father Gillespie, how can you find something to be happy about amidst all the miseries of the pandemic and controversies in our nation? Well, I do not deny the discord and desolations of our time, but I have found great consolation, even a sense of joy, every morning when I look down from the rectory's back porch and spy a new flower or a new vegetable in the entire garden flourishing. It's as if creation overnight has been showing off to me what happens when plants are rooted and grounded in healthy soil, fed by healthy amounts of water, and are nourished by the energies of a vibrant sun. My joy over the garden began in early spring, when our parish's generous and industrious garden committee adorned the rectory garden with 5 rose bushes, several chrysanthemums plants, and several other annuals. And then, in the middle of May, I planted a series of fledgling vegetable plants that included cucumbers, eggplants, peppers, sweet and hot, squash, and tomatoes. Also, to add some taste, I planted basil and rosemary. Then, as the spring turned to summer, I began to harvest the vegetables. First, there were the cucumbers. Then came the eggplants, peppers, and squash. And now I've been harvesting juicy red tomatoes. This morning, I plucked 4 from the morning's vines, bringing to a dozen harvested within the past week. With these garden graces in mind, I readily resonated with the first reading from Ephesians, where we find Paul's prayerful words that we be rooted and grounded in love. In fact, this passage has for decades been one of my favorites. It even adorned the cover of my first Mass brochure. And some friends later commissioned a large plate for Mass with the words inscribed, quote, established and rooted in love, unquote. So allow me to reflect further on these and other words from today's profound passage from St. Paul. First, there is the passage's prayerful beginning. Quote, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that he may grant you, in accord with the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner self, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Unquote. Perhaps some of you are familiar with the St. Louis Jesuit song based on Paul's prayer called Dwelling Place. The song's slow and steady rhythm, coupled by Father John Foley's melodic and strong voice, invites one to enter gently into the presence of God. I invite you to listen and pray with it through the link attached to this homily on our website. The verse also has an important theological dimension, as it is one of the very few places in all of sacred scripture that we find an explicit reference to the Holy Trinity. Notice in the reading how St. Paul weaves the Father, the Spirit, and Christ all in one sentence. Trinitarian theologians refer to this as an example of Pauline pneumatology, and its influence has echoed from one generation to the next. Indeed, the very name of our parish may be seen as evolving from this allusion to the Holy Trinity. Then the passage proceeds to the verse I mentioned earlier, quote, that you, rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the holy ones what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Unquote. Many years ago, as a Jesuit novice teaching at Georgetown Prep, I recall these words had a powerful effect upon me when I read them aloud at a Mass. The way by which St. Paul incorporated the 4 dimensions of space struck me and led me to ask with wonder why he used these dimensional images into his prayer. Might he have been suggesting God's omnipresence in all of space? I became a bit bewildered, however, when Paul prays that we may comprehend all, knowing that comprehending God's universal presence is impossible. Finally, there is the sentence, quote, "Now to him who is able to accomplish far more than all we ask or imagine, by the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Unquote. In this sentence, I am especially drawn to the phrase, quote, "by the power at work within us," unquote. How fitting that Paul concludes the passage with these words, since he recognizes that his words indeed come from the power working within him. And what is that power? Well, the Holy Spirit, of course. And not just within Paul, but within you and me. In so many words, Paul is expressing a powerful sense of the power and profound sense of grace's working within him and through him to those whom he encounters. And he prays that the same may be true for us. Indeed, my friends, this Ephesian passage, this prayer of St. Paul, may be asking each of us, how might the power of the Holy Spirit be working within us this day during this difficult time? Let us pray with St. Paul that we may receive the consoling and encouraging powers of the Holy Spirit. And when we receive it, to recognize it. And when we recognize it, to share it with one another. And when we do, may we joyfully recognize that we are co-laboring in the garden of our planet Earth and in our universe with our Creator in the height and the depth, the length and the breadth, as we bring to fruition the fruits of the Holy Spirit, which have been rooted and grounded in us by God's love.